grade 5, language arts 2. Now, one of the dividends of the compositions that the children are writing and their main lesson books all together is that you can, out of this work, which is already going on and is really correct for this age and for Waldorf methodology, you can draw on this work to present a viable alternative to report writing. So this is what we would do. At the end of a block, let's say it's Egyptian ancient cultures, and I would ask children to decide which of the two or three compositions they had written for that block was the one that they liked the most, their favorite, or the one they felt was their best. I would collect those. That is to say, I'd collect the main lesson book. I would, in those days, photocopy. Now I would scan the pages, so they're digitized. They're on the computer. They look very much like the originals. And I would print then enough copies of those compositions so that every family, or if a family split, every separated family as well, would get a copy of everybody's composition. So you have 25 children in the class. There are 25 compositions in this anthology. In addition, there are also some lovely drawings or photocopy or a digitized scanned copy of a painting or two in it as well, in color. Be very, very beautiful. And a nice cover that perhaps is specially designed by one or two or three of the children. Maybe you want to have a few different covers if many want to contribute to this. And this is simply stapled together. It's a book that might have 35, 40 pages in it. And you do this at the end of, every one of the humanities blocks. You could certainly do it at the end of a botany block as well, or maybe not every block, but every other block. Whatever, at the end of the year, you're going to have a collection which you'll be amazed at how substantial it is and how formidable it is. And it helps the parents also put their child's work in a context, because now they have an anthology, they have more time to really read the compositions than they would at a parent evening where they're just quickly speed reading everything and taking a glimpse. And it also helps to engage the dads who might be less interested in the specific work the children are doing. But now they see something in hard copy that's really going to matter to them. So this is so much better than reports. And I think it will, as it were, feed that sop to the hungry maws of that dog demanding all of this more intellectual and public school sort of work. So that's one aspect of this. A way of communicating to the parents also how the children are doing in language arts. Now, it's important to recognize you cannot speak about language arts, reading, and now increasingly writing. Maybe everybody in the class is, reasonably along in their reading. Now the parents switch their anxieties to writing. Can my child write anything? So it is very good at the end of every main lesson block that you report back to the parents, not just twice a year, but short reports at the end of the main lesson blocks, asking the children to take their main lesson books home, read through them with their parents, and you give a very frank assessment of how the child is doing in writing. Let the parents know, your modus operandi. If it's going slow and giving the children time to develop and unfold, let them know that. There may be those who are upset and angry at it, but at least they can't accuse you of hiding the fact from them. And if what you're doing is quite different from what generally is going on in the school, let your colleagues know as well. Frankly, you may be told, no, you can't do that. We have a standard way of addressing writing issues in grade five. Here's the textbook, here's the program, you know, here's somebody who's a certified facilitator in that program, and she'll catch you up to speed. And that may be that. Well, at least in this little online conference, you've had a chance to see that light behind the clouds of a growing materialism in our world, and so on and so forth. At least you know there is another way. And maybe, maybe you just want to leave your school and go somewhere better or start your own school. Nothing wrong with that. But anyway, if your school won't let you do it, that's that. However, there's nothing wrong with asking, how did this method start? When did this method start? And why did this method start? What's wrong with Steiner's approach? What's wrong with the Waldorf approach? And once again, it's like so many things where you ask why and when and who. Nobody knows. Or maybe this is new enough that they do know. But I can guarantee you, behind it stands, you know, a public school teacher who is a parent or a recent convert to Waldorf or whatever. Behind it does not stand the spirit of Waldorf education. And it's at least good to point that out to your colleagues, you know, that maybe this should be in our flyer along with photographs of the maypole to let parents know that at a certain grade, usually it's fourth or fifth, it will soon be second or third, we switch gears and we start doing things that are very public school. What kinds of things do we do? Okay, let me read something to you. When you are reading, this is a quote, when you are reading, keep in mind the following questions. Why is this person so important that a whole book was written about him/her? Depending on how the book, in fact, what it actually says is about his/her life, depending on how the book is organized, the answer may be in the first chapter, scattered throughout the book, or in the last chapter. What did this person contribute to our world? 2. When and where was this individual born? What important events were happening at that time? 3. What was his/her childhood like? What was his/her education? Who were the most significant people in this person's life? Okay, this is for a book report on a biography. Going on. When you are writing about a biography, keep the following thoughts in mind. 1. Your introductory paragraph should describe the contributions this individual made to his/her world. Later on, you might wish to summarize the course of the individual's life. Later on, the conclusion should be a statement, once again describing the special gifts of the individual about whom you were writing. It will be different from your opening paragraph because it will now be based on all the interesting information you have put in your report, etc., etc., etc. I will be giving this to you as PDFs. But all over it, I will have stamped and watermarked and stenciled, you know, I do not approve of this. I never did this myself. I will tell you quite frankly and quite openly, because it's kind of in the public domain, this comes from the Rudolf Steiner School in New York City. That is to say, this comes from the very oldest Waldorf school in North America. Which celebrated, 80th plus anniversary, you know, going on to 100 years before too long. And this is what it is doing in the senescence of its old age. Grade 5 writing test, May 22nd, student's name, directions for part 1 of the test. you are to write about the topic below. Waldorf school students learn to play an instrument. That's the topic. Write a composition of about 150 words telling about an instrument you particularly enjoy playing. Notes. Use this section to help you think about and plan your composition. So these are your notes. Why do you like the instrument? What were some things you learned about music? What made you decide upon this type of instrument? And then you write another composition, 200 words. What was an important decision in your life, and why do you think it was important? When, where, with whom were you, and what were you doing? That's the same question I tell you to ask your mentor when you say, when, where, and with whom did this stupid way of testing ever arise in the first place? We don't know. You failed. This is what children in the grandmother, the matrix of all Waldorf schools on this continent are doing. Okay, now they're in New York City, super competitive private school market there. And they knew if they were going to get their share of the pie and not limp along with tiny classes, they would have to make some changes. And I can assure you, none of the changes were to intensify their Waldorf nature. They had to become more, not only like a New York City public school, which is bad enough, but like a high-pressure, super-competitive New York City private school. So this is what you see. But the funny thing is that this sort of thing tends to percolate through the movement. The person who gave me this is a person who herself has trained teachers as a mentor, as a lecturer at the esteemed Sunbridge College, and so on and so forth. So this stuff circulates like wildfire through the movement. And, you know, here somebody is an experienced teacher doing it. Okay, I guess that's what you're supposed to do. So just to go back for a moment, you know, there's the assumption, of course, in all of this, a lot of assumptions, that the child knows what a paragraph is, knows what a topic sentence is, can count to either 100 or 150, or 200 rather. And of course, kids are raising their hands. Does a count as a word or just a letter? And from then on, you know that they're going to be asking their teacher endlessly, how many words does it have to be to get an A? The assumption that they already know all of this structural stuff about writing compositions. Yes, by the end of eighth grade, by seventh grade, the end of sixth grade, they should definitely be living with all of this. But this is too early. I'd say it's 2 years too soon. Right now, as I said before, these compositions should be a kind of wonderful giving back to the teacher of what they have learned. In any shape, form, style, whatever, they will learn by doing. And you ask them to get up and write a few words from their composition on the board, and you can point out to them, you know what? Jennifer has written actually what we call a paragraph. Let me show you why I would call this a paragraph. The children will see by themselves and for themselves what they are capable of doing. They'll realize that if they're really engaged in the subject, they're probably going to write with reasonably good grammar, and actually they'll be writing in a structure of which they are not necessarily aware. To give them, as it were, in a platonic way, the forms fit into this Procrustes bed of a form. Even 200 words, you know, what's 200 words? What does that have to do with the quality of a composition? Rather, let's do it in an Aristotelian way. Let them write, and they'll start to see that they need to organize their writing better. Let it come out of them. Not all of them, but of course those who are furthest along in their writing, those who are sort of most cognitively developed, they'll start to get the feeling that they need a little structure, or that actually they have structure and organization already. It's a qualitatively, profoundly different experience when a student learns it that way than at the tender age of 10 or 11 to be given these laws, these rules, these ironclad structures. So I would say again, in the best of all possible worlds, if you are really in a Waldorf school that's worth its salt, then you can let the children write with tremendous freedom and expressiveness, and may I say a three-letter word, even with joy, rather than put them in these, what Steiner described the learning experience in the modern world as, it's like the coffins with nails on both sides, on the bottom of the case and the upper part, and the poor victim was put into it and the coffin was slowly closed. These sorts of exams and these assignments and these strictures, which are, you know, it's pages and pages that the child has to read of rules and questions before they can even lift their pen up. Come on, this is crazy. What a waste of time for the child. What a waste of time for the teacher writing this. Well, actually, she didn't write this. This is a standard test. It's bad enough that there are standardized tests in the world, but in this school, they create their own standardized tests because they are teacher-proof tests. They have much more faith in the test than they do in the teacher. And if that is a principle that is as un-Waldorfian as can get, you have to find a better one for me than that. And as I say, this comes from a school that has more than its share of influence in OSNA and in the North American Waldorf movement. And I would say that's a tragedy. So I am telling you, do whatever you can to bring joy into the children's writing, to bring expression into the children's writing, and to make it part of the wonderful ebb and flow of the main lesson, that it's, as it were, an extension of the review. It's allowing those burgeoning etheric forces to pour forth the torrent of memory. And then the middle of sixth grade on up, that's the time to start to work with the rules and the structures and the organization of things. And of course then by seventh and eighth grade, when the children start to read some really great works of literature, what are they going to say? My God, that's a run-on sentence. Mr. Schwartz, he's not really working with a topic sentence in his paragraphs. Mr. Schwartz, that paragraph's 4 pages long. Okay, they learn the rules, and then immediately they learn the exceptions. Right now, let them live in the world of the exceptions and write out of themselves. Otherwise, you're going to see that they will lose their fervor for writing. They will lose their enthusiasm. They will be thinking about rules, 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 and they will not really be able to speak out of themselves. Give them this one more year, 18 months, I'd say, until, as William Wordsworth says, if the prison doors begin to close, and rightfully so, but not yet. So we'll go on and look at grammar in the fifth grade language arts classes.